Yeah, this is Ron Houseman with the Taney County Commission, and we're currently going live, and this is our preliminary study meeting, just to look over events and agendized items for the day. We'll be doing this until 9 o'clock, at which time we will officially go into County Commission session. Okay, Danny, have you gone through the minutes and the okay. Have you taken a look at the...
I haven't looked. I just finished the accounts payable. We may postpone that to a definite time.
Well, we just want to swear in the other two members anytime we want. And I think that we can have our commitment.
Check that. You want me to double check that?
Okay.
Yeah. What? Yeah, and ask her what she wants.
I'm reading, didn't see you. I'm open to everything.
What about your report on June 10th? Okay. I believe that that requires you to pull up on all the places that are in place. Does it not?
It does. Thank you.
Well, I think so.
It's a big day.
Absolutely. Okay, did you look through the minutes? You had a chance?
I'm on page two.
There's very few changes there.
Were you an English teacher?
No, I was not an English teacher.
Good. How are you?
Good. Now it's starting to cool off a little bit.
Well, we had to figure out a way to get rid of the water, so we thought turn up the heat and let it evaporate faster.
Yeah.
It's just stuck is the problem.
We were in a fog this morning. I mean, that's all.
A hot fog, wasn't it? So I guess when there's two gone, doesn't that mean the meeting's actually... I thought this wording here, you were here.
I thought maybe my motion was up to 10.
Okay, that could have been. Sounds good.
He said 10, yeah, I think it said up to 10. Up to 2.
I think that's what it was. I don't see the...
You want the sets?
Well, I'm missing... I have 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. Do you have those?
No, I got the 25th, 26th, 23rd.
26th, is that his corrections on those?
No, is it 26th? Let me look and see.
I don't... I have these two, but I don't have... If you... Does that mean his, you're on...
He's got corrections there, doesn't
none of them, well, he didn't give me those sheets.
Which one are you missing?
25th and 26th. But I was seeing if he made any changes on them.
Yeah. Here's the 5th.
Did he make no changes then?
Did you have 25th and 26th corrections? I didn't. You didn't give me in here. This motion was actually sent up to 10. It was the official versus. I've never.
Perfect.
I used the word 10. I knew that. But you didn't give me 25th or 26th.
Actually,
with changes.
Well, there wasn't any.
Okay, well, good. Then we're all good.
I don't have the 26th.
Danny has it. He's been holding it out on you. And you're fine with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me put it in this pile here. I was sleeping the same.
You have somebody here?
Yes.
I haven't seen that. What you have on the bylaws?
Oh, here. Let me show you.
The only one that was not appointed.
Yeah, but he was going to furnish me some bylaws.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a minute.
All right.
Do we have someone down for public comment?
No. You just that one individual.
Is she here?
No. It's time's up.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, that's June 6, 2011, to order, and call upon Commissioner Straffes to offer opening prayer.
Everyone stand, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, Father, and we thank you for dry weather. And Father, we ask you to be with the troops across the country and across the world, Father. Be with them and be with their families as those five soldiers died today, Father. And Father, be with the families and console them and know that you are still there and there to help. And Father, we ask you to be with all the servicemen and servicewomen across the country and across the world to give them protection, Father, and wisdom where they should be and where they shouldn't be, Father. Help them be a good example of what America stands for. And Father, we ask you to be with each elected official across this country, Father, that your word says that if we ask for wisdom, you will freely give it to, Father. So we ask you for wisdom in this meeting and meetings across the country, Father, as they seek your advice on how they should guide and make decisions. And Father, we just thank you for the people of Caney County in this wonderful state to be with us and give us guidance in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of minutes is previous meeting minutes.
I'll move that we approve 523, 524, 25, and 26 with the minor changes.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve prior commission meeting minutes of 523, 524, 525, and 526 with minor changes as noted. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously. Accounts payable?
I move that we approve accounts payable checks 324702 to 324767, warrants 5421 through 5423, and two transfers.
I'll second that. Those transfers were
Road and Bridge and Sewer.
Right.
I think it's the two transfers were Road and Bridge and Sewer, I believe. I think that's right. That's what I thought it was.
Okay. I thought I'd just seen one's reason I said that. But.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks numbers 324702 to 324767 and warrants 5421, 22, and 23, and to approve the two transfers as presented. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously. No other journal entries, correct?
Correct.
It's not often that we have a congressman visit our county commission, so we're excited for that to happen today. We're excited that you are here chatting with us today. And as I understand, really what we're going to be doing this morning is just chatting, and you would like to hear from us on what issues the county commission feels that you should pay particular attention to or have those discussions with you. And quite frankly, I'd like to call upon you to give us an idea of what's going to happen with the congressional districts. I know that they are going to change. They're not going to change immediately, but they will be changing, at which time Taney County will fall within one congressional district rather than be separated and fall within two. Congressman, if you'd like to come up,
this microphone.
We can either have you stand or sit at the table, in which case we'll push the podium back. Your choice.
Okay. Yep, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So without any further ado, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the congressman from the 7th District of the state of Missouri, Congressman Billy Long.
Thank you all, and it's a pleasure to be here. And we try and reach out to all the county commissions as we're home and stay in touch, because that's really, I mean, it's the House of Representatives, and I think that's truly what a congressman does best, is represent the people. And there's no open line of communications, or if you feel like you can't call us or anything, then that's not a good thing. So we try and keep everybody apprised of what's going on. We have our office in Springfield, off of East Battlefield, right behind Steak and Shake, real close to 65 there on Ridgeview. And then we have an office down in Joplin. So we have two offices in the area. As far as the congressional district lines, when we lost a congressman, unfortunately, about 15,000 people, if 15,001 more people would have filled out their census, we'd have 9 congressmen. But as is, we're going to have 8 next time. So we had to lose a congressman, so to speak. So we're going down to 8. Each congressional district had to pick up 130,000 new people. Fortunately, we live in such a good area here that we had grown by 104,000 over the last census 10 years. So out of the 130,000 that the 7th district needed to pick up, we only had to pick up 26,000 people. And when I first looked at the map, I said, this is a no-brainer, because some things are just, I kind of ran on a common sense platform, and to me, this was common sense. We had half of Taney or part of Taney. We had part of Polk County. I said, you give me the rest of Taney, you give me the rest of Polk to square off the lines, and then I need to pick up 7,000 or 8,000 people somewhere else. So to me, it's a no-brainer. That's what I asked them to do, because it's a lot better for you all, as you know, to be in one congressional district, whether it would have been Joanne's district or my district, and same for the people in Polk County. But politics being what they are, they went through quite a few gyrations. But at the end of the day, that's exactly what they did. They made Taney County all in one congressional district, Polk County all in one congressional district, and then they gave me a little strip off the southern part of Webster County, which was another 7,000 or 8,000 people, because they have to zero out. Each congressman has to have exactly the same number of people within one person. There's going to be one congressman that might have one person more or less. So. That, of course, will not go into effect until, number one, if I'm to be your congressman, I have to get reelected. So whoever wins that race for the 7th District next time will then represent all of Taney County and all of Polk County, a little bit of Webster, along with the other 8 counties that are already in the 7th District. So
we're going to remain in the Taney County will be split between the 7th and 8th District through 2012.
Right. It'll be January of 2013, a day or two into January. This year was on the 5th before we're sworn in again. So that's the date that it'll all. However, Bob Colmeyer runs my the ag part. Roy always had a real active ag guy, and I've got a real active ag guy that goes to all the ag meetings. There were issues over, in fact, even east of Taney County and Joanne's district, but the farmers asked us to get involved. But frankly, it's a long ways over here for Joanne to come. And not that she doesn't do it from time to time, but she's more than happy to let us, you know, help her people when we need to. So we all kind of work together on that basis.
On a personal note, I hate to lose Congresswoman Emerson, but I also am tickled to see Taney County brought into congressional district.
The counties that can be split, the better off, I think, right, regardless of whether it would have gone in Joanne's district or whether it would have come to the 7th district. But I'm thrilled with the line. It's exactly what I asked for, exactly what I wanted. But, you know, being a team player along the way, I said, I'll do whatever. One time they talked about putting Ozark and Douglas in and taking Polk away. And I said, if that's what it needs to be, that's fine. Whatever, so I just kind of get along as far as that goes. As far as what we've been doing in Washington that kind of affects you all or that I want your input on, when we had the first round of flooding here, we, I feel like I'm, I don't know if I need to move this back.
Go ahead.
That's all right, wherever you want it.
When we had the first round of flooding down here, we got active immediately. Matt Baker, raise your hand there, Matt, from my office. Worked with the Corps of Engineers from day one trying to figure out exactly what went on. They came to a gentleman in Branson on the north side of Taney Como and told him that they're going to open the floodgates to 20,000 cubic feet per second at, I believe they said, 2:30. Instead, they opened them to 68,000 cubic feet per second at like 1:30 or something. Which, so we had a lot of questions we wanted answered. I immediately asked the governor to declare it a disaster area. For some reason, and I'm not sure, I'm sure that Governor Nixon had his reasoning because there was flooding going on in other parts of the state. I don't know if he wanted to put it all together or what, but he waited a week to ask for the declaration of disaster area, which put us behind the eight ball, and I wasn't real happy with that because it was just a week later before FEMA got in before anybody came in to help. And so I kind of let it be known that I wasn't thrilled with that. So FEMA took it that I wasn't thrilled with their effort, which wasn't necessarily true, but just they called me that week and had a discussion. They said, well, here, you're not happy with us. And I said, well, it's not that I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy that, you know, it took a week extra to get you here. And so I was kind of on their radar when Joplin hit. So then Joplin hits. And the next morning, hit on Sunday evening, the next morning we were down in Joplin at daylight, and I hadn't been there an hour or two, and the White House liaison for FEMA called me, and they said, we want you to know, because they were aware of me from the Branson situation, so they said, we want you to know that FEMA's on the way, they'll be on the ground shortly, and I said, no, they won't. And they said, why not? And I said, they're already here. They got here about 15 minutes ago, and I met them. They've been fabulous in that effort down there. The governor, I thought, by golly, I'm going to get the governor to declare this disaster area this time soon, a lot quicker than a week. And on the way driving down there, I heard on the news he'd already declared a disaster area. He'd already called in the National Guard, which tickled me to death. So I can't say enough about what a good job the governor has done. The Rich Serino, the deputy director of FEMA, came in like on day two. The director, Craig Fugate, director of FEMA, came in on day three or so, and I spent 5 days down there on the ground just trying to stay out of the way but help around the edges. Because as a congressman, again, a representative, I don't need an entourage. I don't need a security detail. I don't need things that a governor needs and a president needs. I wore my cowboy hat and my jeans that first day, met the firefighters down there, the first responders. One from Branson looked at me and rolled his eyes when he saw me that first morning. He's like, you again? Because we'd been down here on this one. But it was heartwarming to see 500 people in the firehouse from a couple hundred mile radius that were in to help. Unfortunately, we had bad weather that first morning, had a hailstorm moving in, 60 mile an hour winds, so we had to wait a couple hours before we could go out. And then we went out with actually a crew from Fairgrove, one of their rescue people, and helped them probably didn't help them too much, but we were trying to help them look around and look for survivors and things. The lightning was crashing down all around us. And I thought, you know, this isn't real. I don't know. These are first responders, and they know what they're doing, but I can't imagine. I mean, it was lightning everywhere. And after, you know, a while of that, I looked at my guys, and I said, you know, I said, I'm just not real comfortable out here with this lightning. You know, I said, let's go back and see, you know, what else we can do somewhere else. So we got out of it. That afternoon, I was doing an interview and had an umbrella. Big bolt of lightning crashed down real close. I mean, but it sounded where I was. It scared the cameraman, scared everybody. And they said, well, you shouldn't be holding that umbrella. I said, well, it's fiberglass. And unfortunately, tragically, within 2 hours of that, within a short distance of where I was, which was right at the hospital, first responder was hit, and he passed away the other day. There was two first responders hit by lightning. And but everybody really had done good to pitch in. The president came in on Sunday, and when he got off Air Force One, I looked at him, shook his hand, and I said, I'm glad you're here because you need to see this for yourself. He said, that's why I'm here. He had promised everything. We voted this week in the House for $1 billion in funding for Joplin, Tuscaloosa, and the other affected areas. And what they all have told me in D.C., they said, this is the down payment. You will get whatever you need. We found $1 billion out of some kind of an e-car program or something that they had, $4.5 billion they hadn't touched. So they've assured me that we'll have whatever kind of resources we need. So my attention's been a little more on Joplin in the last week or so. So, you know, from Taney County, from your perspective with the flooding, the ongoing flooding, we're going to the dam after this to tour it again. I toured it shortly after the event. The floodwaters were down, but I toured the dam where there was a 14-foot drop-off on the backside of the dam and they had to close the dam road. And then I went inside of the dam and toured inside of the dam. And to me, it was counterintuitive. I'm like, now, we've got this program from 1958. We're not supposed to flood farmland in Arkansas. Okay, so we're not going to flood farmland in Arkansas, but we're going to flood houses in Taney County. But on the other side of the state, we're going to blow levees with dynamite to save houses in Cairo, Illinois, and flood a half county of farmland in Missouri. So, again, it's common sense things like that that I was just shaking my head saying, how does this work? So we have tried to work through that process and figure out how we can prevent this from happening again. But everywhere you go, you've got United States senators, you've got several congressional districts affected, you have congressmen affected, and if we do something here, that affects them downstream, of course. So there's no easy answers, but I thought it was a good question to pose to them. Why do we flood properties here to save farmland in Arkansas, and yet we save houses in Cairo, Illinois by blasting levees here to flood farmland in Missouri? Other than that, down in Joplin, like I said, just you try and do little things around the edges to help. One morning I walked in, there was a guy in a St. John's shirt, a St. John's badge at the Emergency Operations Center, and he was arguing with one of the policemen there. He said, they told us to come here to get a pass, and we have to get a pass here, and we come over here, and you all don't have any passes. We've got to get in there. We've got to get oxygen. We've got to turn some kind of nuclear machine off that was in the hospital, and they wouldn't give them access, and yada, yada, yada. And so we have to. And then a gentleman, a businessman, Joplin, walked up to me. he said, I'm here for the same reason. He said, you need to take care of this. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they're supposed to give us these passes. They're locking us out in neighborhoods. I've got 7 families living in my house that I've taken in. They can't even get in because they don't have the right driver's license. So I went down to the fire chief who lost his house. And I said, you know, Chief, I said, something, we need to figure out something here because St. John's, the guy in a St. John's uniform, St. John's badge can't even get into St. John's. So-and-so can't even get in his own house here. And so they gave him a stack of passes. They lifted the order if you were official where you could get in. And then about 20 minutes later, they lifted the order for the whole town because it wasn't working. So it's like I say, it's little things like that around the edges. There was Governor Nixon was in town, and Chris Koster was there, and he said, are you going to the deal at the auditorium? And I said, well, I don't really think that. Well, I mean, everybody's been really good not to run politics into this thing, but still, there's some politics, and I said, well, I don't really think they want me on stage with them. And Chris Koster said, so by golly, you're going to be there. I'm going to get you on stage. You need to be up there. You're the comic. You need to be right there with us. So we get up on stage. There's 25 of us, and they tell if you need housing, do this. If you need food, do this. If you need water, do this. And they were had all these different people speaking. And when that was over, they said, this is Congressman Billy Long, introduced me. I didn't say anything. Well, when it was over, I get ready to, I'm walking along the edge of the stage. This lady comes up and looks up at me, and I'm about 4 foot above her because the stage is up about 3 or 4 feet. And she said, can you help me? And I said, well, I don't know, ma'am. What do you need? And she said, my husband just got sent to Afghanistan. I have 4 children. Our house has been damaged. I need him here. They could let him come home on a 30-day pass if they would, but they won't. And I said, who? And she was on the verge of tears, of course. And I said, well, who'd you talk to? And she said, we have to go through the Red Cross. I said, and we're staying at a Missouri State Southern University where all the Red Cross was and all the cops were and everything. We're in a building across the way. I said, well, did you talk to him here at the Red Cross? No, they were too busy for me. They couldn't talk to me. So she said, I talked to the Red Cross in Jeff City. And the Red Cross in Jeff City talked to Fort Sill, and they said they want an emergency. She said they told me that if we would have died, he could have come home for a funeral. And then she started crying. And I said, well, I'll tell you the same thing I tell everybody that comes to see me in Springfield, Washington, or wherever. I cannot promise results, but I can promise good effort. And so I got down from there, went over to the Red Cross lady, and I said, look, here's the deal. This guy just got sent to Afghanistan. He's been in 20 years. It's not like he's shirking his duties. He's at Bagram Air Force Base, so he hadn't been deployed out yet. He could come home if they wanted. And I said, you know, his wife has 4 kids. They said if they would have been killed, they could have come home for the funeral. Their house is damaged. She's lost several neighbors. She's freaking out. She needs help. And so anyway, she said, well, Billy, this shouldn't be a problem. And I said, seriously? I said, yeah, this shouldn't be a problem. And so the next day, they had him coming back on a plane. So. Yeah. Things like that, that you're glad you can help out. But we're here to hear from you all what we can do to help you along the way at any time, whether it's roads and bridges or flooding or whatever it is.
You know, I fully believe that because you and other leaders from across the state got involved in Joplin, that's why we had the immediate responses that we did. As a commission, agreed to send a crew. Actually, we sent 2 crews down from Road and Bridge Department with heavy equipment to help once we were summoned by SEMA to do that. And I got to spend 3 different days down there working. And unless you see it firsthand, you cannot describe the destruction. I worked side by side with somebody who had worked in Katrina, and they said Katrina didn't even touch what's happened in Joplin. I mean, it's horrendous. So thank you for being there and for assisting those people that are so badly injured.
I mean, there's thousands of volunteers. A lot of people have done a lot more than I have down there. But on Thursday, of course, like I said, Rich Serino, the deputy director of FEMA, and Craig Fugate, the director, came in. And earlier in the week, on Thursday of that week, people from HUD, HHS, Economic Development and SBA, and some more FEMA people, kind of the undersecretaries, flew in from D.C. unannounced, didn't want the press to know about it. We met them, took them to the hospital, showed them inside the hospital, then took them, toured them around town, and their eyes were this big, which, I mean, if you've seen on TV and you haven't been there, I know some of you have been down there helping, but if you haven't, you can't, your mind doesn't even want to really let you believe what you're looking at. That was on Thursday, so they came down and went back the same day. The next day, Sean Donovan, the Secretary of HUD, called me, and he said, Billy, he said, we have never, ever had eyewitness firsthand reports like my people brought back yesterday. He said, you'll have anything you need, whatever you need. And so that's why someone else, I'm not sure if it's been publicized yet, but somebody else high up is coming in Wednesday. And maybe it's public, and they told me not to make it public until it is, but anyway, we're going to meet them over there and show them because I think it's vitally important. And as far as Congress goes, everybody, you know, they come up to me and they say, oh, you know, we feel so sorry for you and yada yada. And I'm like, don't feel sorry for me. I mean, I'm glad they've got that attitude as far as the people in Joplin. But it's really been, I went to a benefit last night for Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, and Steve O, Big Steve, they call him, in Nakato's there in Springfield, said that they did a fundraiser for the tsunami in Japan. They did a one-night fundraiser and raised $35,000. He said, we're planning a very similar thing for, so everybody wants to know what they can do. I tell them to text $10 for the Red Cross or text $10 for Convoy Hope or whatever, because I think money is what helps, and we've got a lot of constituent concerns and calls now. And, of course, having an officer in Joplin would help. Jake has a good relationship with the city down there. So, but anything you guys want to bring up to me, we'll be glad to.
If I could bring up a couple of points, just, and I'll be brief and then let the other two gentlemen do that. The first one is PILT payments, payment in lieu of taxes. We want to let you know that obviously we're in favor of that, and that for the edification of those here is when the federal government purchases properties within counties, it goes off the tax rolls, and it's really a token sum effort that comes back from the federal government to replace some of those tax revenues that were lost. And that's very, very important to a number of Missouri counties. And in Taney County, I don't see Rick, it's $100,000 or $150,000 that comes. There are many counties across the country where it's a lot more than that because a bigger portion of their county has been taken by the federal government. But number two is the off-system bridge program. And we have until Wednesday, I just got an email this morning, coincidentally, Representative Graves has sent a letter to the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and I think you're a big part of that, encouraging you all to sign on to this particular effort that will hold those dollars in place. And obviously that's the dollars that comes back to us from our share of federal taxes to replace obsolete, functionally obsolete bridges that are within county governments and cities. So that's the second item to us. It's very important. And for Matt back there, I've got a flyer on that if I could give that to you. We haven't written the letter as yet, but we're going to do that ASAP. And third, you had mentioned, obviously, the flooding, which hits home here to so many people. And what is discouraging to me is to see the process that we've gone through for the assessment of the damage of the homes and what possibly might happen to those homes, whether or not they can be paid through the National Flood Insurance, whether or not the homes that fall within either the floodway or the floodplain can be bought out. And it's a procedure with a lot of red tape that those individuals are going to have to go through. And I'll turn to Jim that's been working on that directly, but it could take up to, so we've been told, 18 months. That's a long time.
Just to kind of follow up, that mechanism for that funding is through CDBG, the Community Block Development Grant. So making sure that has funding so that we can, you know, it's obviously the people affected here. We have about 28 homes that were substantially damaged, which is 50%+ damage. So and most of those reside in the.
So you have completed the assessments?
We have completed the assessments.
Last time I was here a couple of weeks ago, we had the meeting
at the
Ozarks, and that had not been.
Right. The assessments have done. The cities, both City of Hollister and Branson, have sent their letters out identifying the properties that they have determined what are substantially damaged. The county finished that middle of last week, and letters went out Friday, which we think there's 28 total. 28, I think that's the number total houses out of the 250 that were affected. 28 were substantially damaged. Which then, like Ron was saying, we go through the process of the buyout or hazard mitigation, which is where FEMA puts its money, which is partly in the CDBG funding. So making sure that there's money in there, that will help these families not flood again if we want to buy those property out. If the federal wants to buy them out, the state or the county, there has to be a political subdivision that buys the property and then at that point, then there would be no more housing there, but they wouldn't have the flooding issue. But those houses that we've seen are in the floodway versus the floodplain, which is when FEMA redrew some maps, some houses all of a sudden went from the floodplain to a floodway. So making sure there's funding there would be probably a thing that will help recover some of the Taney County residents. You know, obviously they're displaced and won't be going back anytime soon anyway. So, but the process could take up to 24 months is what we're being told once the final assessment dollar figure is given. And we're told it because Joplin was added to the flooding here in Branson, we won't see a final number till September of what the total damages were, and then that's when the clock starts for the 18 to 24 months. So it could be a long process, and what I'm asking along with Ron and Danny is if once we can start the process, help us get through it faster for those families because they're displaced. I mean, some have lost everything. Some renters have lost everything. But we want to make sure that we can speed up the process. There's no reason to take longer than they need to. But CDBG is a funding mechanism that helps that program for those people. So that's one area. And then the only other one I was going to throw out just is just the federal funding for the highway transportation. MoDOT obviously was hit hard this year, and making sure, because when MoDOT gets affected, our small lettered county roads, they get mowed maybe once a year is what they're being told now. I think they don't have hardly any money to maintain. I know there's some federal funding that is in question coming up in years 2013, I think, or 2014. So keeping a close eye on the federal money that comes to the state, because MoDOT's hurting, obviously, which for us, our rural county, we have I would say 60% of our county is very, there's only a few roads on it, and they're state road, and if you've got tall grass, it's a safety issue. So just keeping that in mind, if we can make sure there's funding for the transportation.
What is the position that you have on the Transportation Committee, Congressman?
The what?
Transportation Committee.
I'm on the committee, and I've got a pretty good relationship with Chairman Micah, and he's wanting to do some area things, so if you all have anything you want him to come in for, he's looking for a project or something to come in for, so I'll be glad to visit with you about that.
Okay.
Excellent.
That'd be great.
One question I had was, as the President declared Joplin and said that there might be a 90% pay out for the FEMA part, and we were included. Does that include us in the 90% versus the 10% that the local government would participate in as far as our buyouts?
I don't know.
Had
normally it's a 75-25.
75-25.
And they've agreed to go up to 90. The request now is to go to 100. So as far as it's all part of the same declaration. That was another good thing that FEMA did, I thought, was they tagged, if they hadn't tagged Joplin on to Branson and Southeast Missouri in the same declaration, then it would have been weeks before we could have got assistance down there. And so that was a good thing they did. But I will have to check with you and get back to see on that 90%.
Right.
I would assume that's for the Joplin area and would not be for this, but I'll have to.
Well, if they tied us all together, that was my main concern, is if they tied us together with that in the declaration, then if it could apply, it would be a great help to Taney County, the city of Branson, Hollister.
I don't know how you are going to buy houses out here.
Right. That's a big question.
And no funds.
That's a big question. And the thing that the 90%, and you said if they went to 100%, if there was anything that could
be
proposed,
it would be. I'll see how that affects. To be honest, I haven't looked into it to see how that affects.
It'd be great for the citizens here and us.
I'd like to follow up with Jim's comment for just a minute. When we were talking the 75-25, the CDBG is where an opportunity for political subdivisions to draw funds for the 25% comes from.
Right.
So for these people to be bought out, or have their homes bought out, federally, currently, 75% will be funded if there's a 25% local match. Well, unfortunately, with a number of people that have been flooded and they look to local governments, whether it's a city or a county, that 25% match very likely is not there. And through CDBG, however, that can be afforded to us to pass through that community development block grant. So that's critical, I think, in this process.
Okay, well, Matt's taking scrupulous notes back here.
Well. I see him scribbling away, so but that's all I had. So.
The fact that we have lots of issues that were brought to attention with the Joplin disaster, sometimes in response to that, we learn new ways to approach other disasters. And as we talked about with the dam, that had a great concern of this county commission, all the citizens in Branson and Hollister. The safety issues with announcement of getting the service out there for the announcements to people, if there's any monies available that we might look into for, I seen a deal on the news this morning, as a matter of fact, on the broadcast system, and they were talking about, storm sirens and things like that just being a noise and not telling exactly what you needed to do. It just told you that you needed to contact somebody of authority to find out what the problem was. And so if there's anything comes up on that, we'd like to be notified by your office if there's something that we can apply for or anything like that to be able to help the people downstream, whether it be City of Hollister, Branson, Corson. Early warning system would be great.
It's a convoluted thing. Like I said, they came by and told one gentleman that they were going to release whatever it was, 20,000 cubic feet per second at 2:30 or whatever the time frame was, and it's like 10 in the morning. Then at 1:30, they start releasing 68,000, and he said, you know, there's a lot of difference. Said, one, there's no water in my house, and two, there's 4.5 feet of water in my house. Mm-hmm. Why'd you do that? Well, we had to do it. After we had the meeting, which might have been your second meeting, because I was in Washington, I think, for the first meeting, but the second meeting to you all, I believe, at the Keter Center, the community meeting. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was there was to listen to the stories and to listen to the people, because, and again, if you don't know what they're going through, and I heard the guy stand up and say, he took him 18 days to get a trailer, you know, permission to put a trailer, and then they wanted $500 for a temporary pole, and you hear these type of stories that you're trying to help people with, but after that second meeting, we're sitting there in the forecast for the next 5 days for rain. And so I started contacting the governor. I talked to Chris Coster's office. I talked to the governor's office. I had my people in D.C. talk to the White House. And I wanted to try somehow override or get the Corps, again, common sense, just to say, hey, we've got 5 days of rain coming. We're going to do exactly the same thing again. We're going to flood those houses out again. But I hit every brick wall in the world. I mean, I could not get it done. Like I said, I can't promise good results. I promise good effort, and I made good effort. But to me, and they said, well, we can't go on weather forecasts. Okay. You've got beavers full, table rocks full. And to me, if they would have been releasing, let's say, 30,000 cubic feet a second, it wouldn't have flooded houses, and mm-hmm. go on down into Bull Shoals, which could have handled it. But it just, it's tough getting common sense things through, but we learn as we go. But on the other side of the coin, just think if that tornado would have hit Springfield, if it would have hit Branson, come 6 miles or 11 miles, I guess, but the half mile by 3/4 mile long, just clear cut everything. It's just thankful, I guess, we've got floodwaters instead of what Joplin did.
In 1960, it went through Branson, and at that time, very sparsely populated area, which was now where Kmart, all those businesses on 248 plus across where the strip is at. And my mom and dad took me out there to show me where the local barber, his house had been destroyed and everything. And they took us out there and showed us the effect. But can you imagine what it would be like now if something hit the city of Branson to that effect and caused such devastation? That with the Corps situation, I run into the same thing you did, Mr. Long, whenever the first time they called us here and told us to contact our cities. So I went to Rockaway Beach. I said it would be released at 2:30. So at 11 o'clock, I run to Rockaway Beach and run to their city hall and stuff. And while I'm there and the people are coming out, and I look down and the water's already released and it's already flooding and pulling up to the shoreline. So those kind of things happen, but what I'm saying, the learning process that takes effect. I also have a question for you. It's something that's already been passed, but I know it's of great concern to the citizens, should be upstream as well as downstream. This 5-foot water raise that was passed for the Bull Shoals Lake will be. Can you imagine with 5 foot of extra water in Bull Shoals where they couldn't even release the amount that they released without it flooding tremendous areas up, you know, through Rockaway and right on up to Hollister and Branson?
Now, tell me again about the 5 foot. I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. The Congress has passed for the Corps a 5-foot water raise that's to take place, and it's already been passed into law, a 5-foot water raise to take place on Bull Shoals Lake that will raise it up for fishing in the southern part of, I guess it's in the Arkansas streams or something like that. And so we have to deal with that here because the water table down here will be 5 foot more of water in the area that's already in place. And when that takes place, it's not in effect right now. naturally we got more than 5 foot, but if we added...
They're not going to raise Taney Como 5 feet, you know.
Just no, Bull Shoals, but
right.
What I'm saying...
Bull Shoals can hold a lot. I mean, it's got a lot of variance.
But with 5 foot of extra water in it, it would be...
Constantly.
Constantly, yeah. Without the being able to feed up and flooding.
I apologize, I'm not up to speed on that. I know that, I think in 98, they raised the Georgetown level 3 or 4 feet, which that's what was my argument point with them this time with the rain coming in. I said Georgetown's below the level that, we got 2.7 feet, we could go up there, let's do it before all these rains come in here. But like I said, I just met with a brick wall there.
Mm-hmm.
But if y'all ever need anything, we're easy to get a hold of, and just keep open line of communication. And I know Matt's down here a lot, and I, whenever we have these constituent work weeks where we try and get around to the different counties and things, I'll be glad to. And you all get things on your radar quicker than we do sometimes, so if something comes on your radar we need to be apprised to ever help you with, let us know.
Congressman, I know you have a tight time frame, and... If it's all right with you, gentlemen, I'd like to call a 5-minute recess before we introduce Mr. Cotty, just to say goodbye to the congressman.
Sure.
But we really appreciate you
sir.
Coming, and we really appreciate the fact that you listen to us when we call you and that you respond so quickly. I personally am delighted with your abilities.
I can't say enough about my district people and my D.C. people, but my long suit in business over 30 years was hiring good people and staying out of their way and letting them do their job. And we have a great district staff. We get all kinds of compliments on them. We've got a great D.C. staff and a lot of experience. I've got one of the oldest staffs on the Hill because that place is run by 23 to 28-year-olds. And my chief's 41 and my legislative director's 40. And my press guy's 30, so we've got some people long of tooth on there. But it really helps to be able to, in D.C., about every 15 minutes, they get me. Schedule either meeting with the groups from a lot of them are from the 7th. That's about all I meet with the 7th district people. You meet with some Washington people, but there's a lot of people come in the office every day from the 7th district, and they always get top of the order. But we get 80 to 85 requests every day to meet with me in person. Every day, I could do 85 meetings if the time allowed. So you really have to pare that down. You know, committee meetings. I'm on Homeland Security. I'm on Transportation and Infrastructure, and subcommittees of those. So. When you're in D.C., they really, every 15, 20 minutes, they've got you being somewhere. So I tell everybody, this is not hard work. Being a congressman is not hard work. It is long hours.
Yeah.
But it's not the troops are the ones doing the hard work. And that we took a vote on Kuwait Friday, I think, and losing those 5 servicemen overnight in Iraq is just, and you talk, people like Walter Reed, it's just pretty unsettling, so we've got to get some things sorted out and do it in quick order, I think. But anyway, thank you all. If you need anything, holler at us and we'll.
Okay.
We'll stand in recess for 5 minutes. We'll reconvene at 9:45.